हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
In his commentary on Bhagavad Gita 7:15, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the Mayaya Pritigyana and Asura Bhavam Asrita as follows. Maya Pritigyana, those whose knowledge has been stolen by Maya even after studying the Shastra. They think that only the form of Sri Narayan situated in Vaikuntha can be served eternally and can grant eternal bhakti. One cannot perform bhakti eternally to the other forms, such as Rama and Krishna, because they are human-like. Sri Bhagavan has said in Bhagavad Gita 9:11, fools disrespect me when I appear in my human form. After apparently surrendering unto me, they have not surrendered in reality. Asura Bhavam Asrita, asuras such as Jarasandha shoot arrows in order to hurt my transcendental body. Similarly, persons who carry this Asura Bhava use illogical reasoning to deny my Sri Vigraha, which is eternally situated in Vaikuntha. They do not surrender unto me. The third kind of misguided educators, Vedavadaratas, pose as Vedic authorities, but in reality they divert their followers from the actual purpose of the Vedas, which is to know and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. They don't follow the Acharyas and create their own philosophy to justify their lusty desires. The Vedavadaratas are described in Bhagavad Gita 2:42-43. Quote, men of small knowledge are very much attracted by the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth, being desires of sense gratification, opulent life. They say that there is nothing more than this. So in these three distractions here, then, you see, then Vishwanath is bringing out that the Maya Pratigyanas, he studied the Shastra, and he's come up to it, so only Narayan can be God. Because the other forms, they're human-like, so they can't have these qualities. So they have knowledge, and they themselves may even be practicing, you know, the devotional activities, though it doesn't specifically say that they are. But in other words, they agree to the internal aspect of bhakti of Narayan and of the process, but they only accept that the worship of Narayan will give any fruit. No other form can be worshipped, right? So one might think that, well, that those who are into Vaikuntha are like that, but no, they accept any form of Vishnu can be worshipped. But here he's saying only Narayan can be worshipped, no other form. So that's then, their intelligence is stolen by illusion. They can't actually understand Krishna as he is. The Asura then doesn't, the element of that is the destruction of the Lord's body. So either like Jarasandha and others, they try to kill Krishna, or they say that, you know, his form does not exist. Right? Like that. So then that becomes the Asuric mentality. Like that. Then the flowery language is that they're distracted by it. They like the Vedas, but they're distracted and they think that there's other purposes. Like that. They think that there's something else that is going to be important, right? They want to fulfill their desires, and so to fulfill these desires, they follow the Vedic principles, but only for sense gratification, or only for their position, you know, in the karmakanda aspects. So they get distracted. So in all these cases, then, that favorable service to the Lord, that is not happening here, right? Does that make sense? In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna plays the role of such Vedavadarata. He quotes from different shastras trying to rationalize his reluctance to act according to the Lord's desire. The Lord does not approve the so-called intelligent arguments of Arjuna. The real goal of religion is not to achieve temporary material pleasure by karma, as proposed by the Vedavataratas, or to become God by mental speculation, as proposed by the Mayaya Pratijñanas. The ultimate purpose of religion is to bring one back to Godhead by teaching him how to act with proper knowledge, Buddhi Yoga. Srila Prabhupada defines Buddhi Yoga in Bhagavad Gita Purport 10.10. Quote, Buddhi Yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddhi Yoga. In other words, Buddhi Yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. Okay, this footnote at the bottom, what is that connected to?
Part of the previous page. We just didn't finish this one.
Part of the previous page.
The footnote on the previous
page. First line.
Well, I mean, that's more of this just worshiping and making up your own philosophy.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. This is from Madhva's Ishupanishad Mantra 9. Oh, that was what was before. Okay, that was Madhvacharya. So this is Srila Prabhupada defines nonviolence as follows. Nonviolence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body, but actually nonviolence means not to put others into distress. People in general are trapped by ignorance in the material concept of life, and they perpetually suffer material pains. So unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so that they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. That is nonviolence. Bhagavad Gita 13, 18, 12. Because otherwise you also have the environment that you had those who were, you know, against war and all these kind of things. But he was trying to show his real nonviolence is preaching Krishna consciousness. Because otherwise, is that someone there means you don't, someone will die, so that's violence, right? Violence, then the end, something gets hurt or something. But here is that every soul is going to die and take birth again and again and again. So technically that then fits the definition of violence. Right, so if you can stop that cycle of birth and death and don't, that's violence. Right, so that's why then one tries to preach. Right? And that is nonviolence. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. This explanation of Buddhi Yoga is in line with the commentaries of the Acharyas on Mantra 9. Both Vedanta Deshika and Baladeva Vidyabhushan agree that performance of karma or jnana on their own is not sufficient and lead to frustration only. Vedanta Deshika writes, those who, excessively attached to enjoyment and power, perform with absorbed mind, upasate, karma, avidyam, devoid of jnana, enter into very dense ignorance, andamtama. Okay. Those engaged only in knowledge, giving up karma suitable for their qualifications, enter even into greater ignorance than those absorbed in karma alone. So notes on this. The performance of rituals according to the Karmakanda section of the Vedas cannot provide a permanent solution to the problems of life. Thus the Vedavadaratas, although very proud of their knowledge, are constantly embarrassed by birth, death, old age, and disease. The Lord states in Bhagavad Gita 9.21, quote, when they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure, and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas, achieve only repeated birth and death. And then on Gyan. The attempts for Gyan without previous purification by Karma Yoga and with no connection to Bhakti will lead to fall down. As a result, one will not achieve liberation, nor the purification that Karma Yoga brings, nor devotion to the Lord. On the other hand, a devotee engaged in his duties in Krishna consciousness, acting in Buddhi Yoga, is in a safe position. Quote, one who restrains his senses of action but whose mind dwells on sense objects certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins Karma Yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far, far superior. Bhagavad Gita 3:6-7. I remember this, where is it? This quote here. Srila Prabhupada makes here in Ishupanishad. In the Bhagavad Gita 3:9-16, the Personality of Godhead says that one cannot attain the state of Naishkarmya without executing the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedic literature. This literature can regulate the working energy of a human being in such a way that he can gradually realize the authority of the Supreme Being. When he realizes the authority of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, or Krishna, it is to be understood that he has attained the stage of positive knowledge. In this purified state, the modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, cannot act, and is able to work on the basis of Naishkarmya. Such work does not bind one to the cycle of birth and death. So you see is that the Karmi and the Jnani, they never actually get anywhere. Because the idea is that these two must be combined. Bhakti means that action with knowledge and devotion to Krishna is all combined. So all the different yogas, right? The Karma Yoga, the Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, they are combined, right? So it's important to understand that there's a hierarchy here, but at the same time, if you split it too much, you'll actually miss the point. Does that make sense? So this yoga ladder, it's the combination of the whole ladder that is called Buddhi Yoga. If you separate it off too much, you'll actually miss the point and not understand what is to be done, right? So, what's being pointed out is because they're only taking karma, they're pious, it elevates them to the heavenly planets, their time spent in the material world is basically as good as it gets, but still birth, death, old age, disease is there, right? Because no one is going to be able to do everything perfect, right? Then you have someone in Gyan, they have knowledge, that's nice, but the problem is they having this knowledge, how do they purify themselves? Because knowledge itself is not the purifying element, right? Just the knowledge. It's the application of that knowledge that is purifying, right? So then they also have problem. They also then, you know, end up in the cycle of birth and death, right? So then the difficulty comes is that the only nice, you know, one has to perform Naishkarmya to be liberated from the material world. So Naishkarmya can only be performed if one is performing one's prescribed duties. Right? Without prescribed duties, then there's no question of Naishkarmya. Right? Naishkarmya means I'm not interested in the fruit, but that means there must be a fruit. But unless you follow the Vedic prescribed duties, where is the fruit? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that therefore it's the combination of these two that makes Buddhi Yoga. Right? When karma and jnana are combined, then that will liberate you from the material world. Anything less than that won't. Right? So this is something special that is being brought out in Gita Upanishad, right? It's making it obvious. Previously, the saintly persons understand we will be performing our prescribed duties. like we see in Manu. The sages approach Brahma, and their point is this: you please teach us the prescribed duties, right, of Varnashram. That is because you know how Varnashram works in connection with Krishna, right? That by performing in that way, you will actually come to the transcendental platform, right? So in other words, Daiva Varnashram. We've heard Varnashram, but we want Daiva Varnashram, right? Does that make sense? So that means the sages are performing their prescribed duties. But the focus may be on, you know, that knowledge and all the different things on how they can better perform their duties. It doesn't mean it's that's all they do, right? The Mayavadis have made this mistake. They think just by cultivating knowledge alone, then they're going to get themselves out of the material world, right? That's a mistake. Because previously the great sages didn't do that, right? They're engaged in so many activities appropriate for their position. And then in that state, then they're engaged in freeing themselves from the material energy. Right? Because the point is if you're performing an action that you're supposed to be performing, right, then you can be detached from it. Right? But if you're performing an activity that the only reason you're doing it and the method that you're using is simply coming from your own mind, how you'll be detached. It's not possible. That's why the importance of authority. Because in the beginning, one may be following the Vedic principles in an attached way. Right? But one is still working in the field that one can come to detachment. But if you don't work on the Vedic principles, then you follow your own method, then how will you come to detachment? You can come to repulsion, right? Narad Muni mentions this in the seventh canto. After explaining, you know, the ashram dharma very nicely, then he comes to the topic of the malechas, right? Meaning those who don't follow this Vedic system. And so they deal with sense gratification for their own purposes. It doesn't work nicely for them. They get very upset with it, and then they reject it. Right? So he's saying that that platform, still, even that can be used and connected to the Lord, because now they're not interested in material life, you could interest them in spiritual life. Right? Does that make sense? So it can work, but then for it to work, they have to take up the Vedic principles. He doesn't say they continue being malechas and yavanas. Right? It means they themselves might take up the devotional process from that platform. Right? But if they're going to get to the point of actually being working on Naishkarmic, because here it's like, I've done the activity, I'm tired of it, I don't want to do it anymore. Right? But that still is not Naishkarmya. Naishkarmya means I do an activity, it's not for me. Right? It's means everybody will work on the platform that I do the activity because I get the benefit. Right? That's just normal. I mean, at least any intelligent person, they want a result, they got to do the work. Right? Of course, you're going to have the person who does no work expects all results like that. But, you know, that's not what we're talking about here. So, the intelligent person knows that if I work correctly, I get a good result. So then everybody will applaud that, right? The lazy people read books about people who do this, right? Like that. Then, so that's understood, right? Everybody will say, not working, expecting everything, that's stupid, right? Then being intelligent, working, getting the result, that's also very good. Then if you don't want the result, then naturally everybody will agree to, therefore don't do the work. Right? Why would I do the work if I don't want the result? Right? So the first one, everyone will say foolish. The other two, that'll be common for anybody who has any understanding of how the material energy works. But this fourth one, where you do the work and you don't want the result, that's the special one. Right? That's the one they should be writing the self-help books on. right? How to perform your duties, get the result, and see that and connect that to Krishna. Right? That's the step. Oh, of course, there has been a book. It's called the Bhagavad Gita. Right? But that's, you know, been there, done that, read that when I was a bhakta, right, before I joined the temple, right? So that position, that is the only position to get that will get one out of the material world. Right? So Naishkarmya or Buddhi Yoga is the only way to get out of the material world. There isn't another way. But now, as we know, getting out of the material world isn't quite enough. Right? If you're going to get out of a bad situation, you still have to go somewhere where it's a good situation. So you have to go to the spiritual world. That then is the devotional element. Therefore, the Buddhi Yoga is performance of duty with knowledge, without attachment. Okay? Because performance of the duty, that's the karma. But the knowledge and detachment, that's the jnana. So when you combine that, you get the Buddhi Yoga. Now Krishna adds to this, remember me and do it for me. So he adds the Dhyana Yoga and the Bhakti Yoga. Right? So that combination then is the process, right? That is being recommended. Yes?
Dhyana.
Yeah, because it means meditation. Means you're doing this work thinking of Krishna. But thinking of Krishna is one thing, that's nice, but you should be doing it for Krishna. Right? Because you can think of Krishna, you know, it's there, it's nice, yeah, he's God, listen, that. But now what do you do for him?
That is the Jnana Yoga would be used, right?
Yeah, then your karma and jnana used, because that's what it means. In other words, if you're doing something for Krishna, then you're using the karma yoga and the jnana yoga, that combination, to perform the activity for Krishna. Because in those two combined, you can actually perform something as Naishkarmya and do it for Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay? Yes.
Vikarma can't be part of the process.
Vikarma.
Because karma we know it's like if it's Buddhi Yoga then no problem with it.
But Vikarma, how are you going to connect it? How are you going to perform it in knowledge with detachment? Right? Vikarma, you're meaning sinful activity.
Yes.
So how are you going to engage that?
Well, it's possible.
Right. Unless you want to do that's the path you were hoping for or something. It looks very attractive, this path or something.
Just relaxed life, but you know, everything.
Relaxed life, but what does relaxed life mean? How do you get a relaxed life?
By following Shastra.
Yes, so that means work. Right? So the point is that we always have to remember Maynard G. Krebs was taken as kind of a joke. He wasn't taken as a leader of society. Right? No one knows this Maynard G. Krebs. I've heard about him. He was somebody, I think, from comedy shows in either early 60s or in the 50s, that what he was famous for is that something would have to be done in the house, and then he would freak out because it was work. Right? So he'd always go, work, work, you know, and run off like that. So that was considered funny because everybody knew without work nothing happened, right? Because otherwise you can't get the American dream and all those things like that. So you have to work. So how will you just relax and enjoy yourself without having created the facility to do that? Does that make sense? You want to eat something, but you want to just sit back on your couch and it should just prepare itself? You just yell into the kitchen, you know, what you want, and then the potatoes will just hop out of the bin and get themselves peeled and cut, and you know, I'm not sure, they don't have hands. I don't know if they could put the pot on the fire and pour the ghee into it, you know, so. So does that make sense? So how will it work? I'm saying it's practical. Does that make sense? So you have to work. So the whole point is, if you work in knowledge, then there can be the detachment. Because if there's attachment, you'll stay here. But you still have to work. So that's the pious man, right? The Veda Vadarata is, he is working for his sense gratification. So he's honest. You know, he's putting in the effort to get his sense gratification. But there's no such thing as always sitting back and enjoying. You see, Krishna is coming here for his pastime. Is he always just sitting back and enjoying? Right? He gets up, goes out to the cow shed, you know, he comes, takes his bath, goes out, takes the cows out to the field, you know, keeps them during the day, brings them back in the evening. So he's working. You know, in Dwarka, he just sits around. You know, he's managing Dwarka. Narad Muni sees that every morning all 16,108 forms of Krishna that are with his wives, every morning come out of their houses and they walk towards the assembly hall. Right? And as they meet on the roads, then they all merge together until there's one Krishna walks into the assembly hall. Right? So he works, he goes. Kshatriyas, they sit in court. They make decisions, they manage, he does that. He doesn't have to do that, but God finds that fun, right? So God finds performance of prescribed duties as fun, right? So we're the only ones as God who doesn't like this. So that's why we're not such good gods, you know? Does that make sense? Because we're too lazy to be God. God's active. Right? We don't hear of any, you know, incarnation of the Lord as the, you know, all-knowing, all-powerful couch potato. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing. So what is the...
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
If someone is involved in vikarma activities, then
so vikarma you're describing as sitting on the couch and just enjoying, or
no? I didn't mean like enjoying. I mean like be free and do
be free.
You want.
What does that mean? Be free. Something free is always taken very cheaply. What does it mean? Be free. Be free of what?
You just do whatever you like.
So that means it's an annoyance to go to the toilet, so you don't go to the toilet anymore. So it's a problem to eat or pay bills, you just don't do it anymore. And when the IRS men come to your knock on your door, you just tell them, hey, I'm free, get out of here. Right? Go to the shop, take whatever you like, and then when the police show up, you say, hey, I'm free. Right? You're free. Walk down the middle of the highway. Hey, you know, drive on the wrong side of the road. Drive on the sidewalk. Hey, you know, will it work? What will happen if you do that? So what is this be free? You know what I'm saying? Where is this freedom that one is talking about? We hear about it, but where is it?
Maybe it means that doing activities what you prefer to do.
Yeah, activities you prefer to do and don't like anyone else to tell you what to do. But in your freedom, everybody else has to act according to your free will. So everyone else has to very strictly follow their prescribed duties. Like that. You're the only one that does whatever you like. So that's all right if there's only one of you. But that mentality is, right now there's basically, you know, in there a range of about 6 billion people like that. You know, to greater or lesser degrees. Does that make sense? So, what is this free? Does that make sense? So the point is you're going to have to perform duties anyway. You have to maintain your body, you know. So You have to do all these, so you have to do duties anyway. So the point is that if you do it just according to your idea, then you'll never become free from the material world. You will be bound. So it looks like you're free, but you're actually very controlled. You know, you're controlled by the modes. Well, if you work on the platform of Naishkarmya, you're doing it for Krishna, then you're not under the modes. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Just getting anywhere or not? But the point is that, yeah. Generally, the ones that are, that we think of as enjoyers of this world, generally don't fall into this category of those that are just free. You know what I'm saying? Because where is this free? So those that would be considered, you know, enjoyers generally work very hard. Right? Does that make sense? So does that answer your question or not?
Yeah, one part.
Yes, but part. The main point is you have to know how to ask your question. So what's the other part?
Well, it seems that if there are sinful activities,
mm-hmm.
Form has to be changed.
Okay.
The form of the sin. Someone is engaged in intoxication, and you first thing
you
in
change
the
form instead of a, you know, a spoon. You should use a fork, or
first thing in the morning he must take some intoxication, but he has.
It could
to
be
change
second
the form
thing in the morning. You could go to the bathroom first.
Or both.
Good. No, what is the point? See, the thing is I'm not confident you're aware of the point you're trying to make. You know what I'm saying? It's the basis of it is a good point. It's worth discussing. But so far you're not getting your answer because you're giving these specific details that don't actually address the principle of sinful life. You know, that they're sitting on the couch or they're free or, you know, they're, how you say, you know, keep their, you know, bottle of vodka in the, you know, medicine cabinet so when they brush their teeth they rinse it down with that. I mean, it's like you're getting, it's you're not getting into the discussion so it actually has a value. What's the, what is the, say in one sentence your point. What is it that you want to know?
Whether it is necessary to, like, give up sinful activities, or that comes automatically if you're focused on Krishna.
If you're focused on Krishna, do you have to give it up or will it come automatically? What will come automatically is by performing the devotional activity, right, that is authorized in the Association of Devotees, one will become purified where one will automatically be aware of the sinful activities and come to the point of deciding that this is not very important in the performance of my devotional service. Does that make sense? But to take up the chanting, one doesn't need to start on that premise that first you have to give up, then only you can chant. The chanting will work despite your condition. Somebody comes in contact with the devotees, likes what they're doing, you know, starts chanting Hare Krishna, he doesn't have to change his lifestyle. His lifestyle will change, right? Because he's taking it up, so this is the Shraddha element. But only when that Shraddha deepens, then he will take up the Association of the Devotees more seriously. right? In that condition, then he'll take up bhajana kriya, or the proper performance. So in that, then he will give up the, at least the form of the sinful activities, though he may have the attachment, so that's your anartha nivritti. When that's given up, then he'll become steady. Does that make sense? So you don't have to, they don't have to be a vegetarian or this or that to take up the process. But having taken it up, if they're in good association, they will naturally give it up. But the automatic means you're conscious of it. Automatic doesn't mean I sit back and do nothing. Automatic means by my endeavor, I automatically get the result. Does that make sense? See, there's this idea, automatic means I sit in the living room and automatically something happens. No, if you perform the right activity, automatically that result will come. That's the meaning of automatic. Does that make sense? Okay, yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that we don't have reference about the Lord having established this conscious state of philosophy. But if the Absolute contains everything that is known to us and above, it wouldn't be said that the conscious state of philosophy is Lord Buddha's presentation on the
Lord Buddha's presentation? It would be close, but they actually want to extinguish, so there is no couch and there is no potato. That would be the true Buddhism, that the couch and the potato cease to exist. You know, their idea is perfection is blowing out the candle. It means there's nothing like that. It's just void. So it will border on that. It would probably be coming out of that. Impersonalism, voidism, they give rise to all these basically useless forms of sense gratification, like that. Because they actually harden their heart to relationship. So then, because of the need to engage the senses, the interaction is generally sense gratification. Well, in the Vedic principle, then you're dealing with emotions because it comes from the performance of duty. So that's the field of the emotions. Then from that, then the resultant will be, there'll be sense gratification. I properly perform my duties, then people are pleased, so therefore they either give charity, they pay their taxes, they like, you know, what I'm selling and buy it, or they like my service and maintain me. Right? So then with that, then sense gratification is available. Right? So, but the first is actually the emotional. But with the impersonalism and the voidism, they actually remove the qualities, because God doesn't have qualities, so therefore our qualities are also considered illusionary. So you remove qualities, then that may be nice, but the problem is the senses still exist and they still have to act. So then you're left with sense gratification only. So they're actually very dangerous, you know, as far as human beings go. Karma is less dangerous than this impersonalism or voidism. Because karma, you can switch it from being karma about yourself to karma about Krishna. Right? That's the process. So, but this other thing is you actually can get into a state of being that you don't even appreciate devotional rasa in exchange. You know, I've seen devotees sit down to take prasad. They just eat quickly or discuss management or, you know, yell and scream at each other because they're being truthful and all that. They can't just sit and enjoy prasad, because enjoying prasad is maya. You know, it's sense gratification. So they completely miss the whole point of Vaishnava culture. Krishna enjoys taking prasad with his friends. The devotees enjoy taking prasad with each other. Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of descriptions of devotees taking prasad, and it's quite nice. Like Lord Chaitanya and the Dvaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, and they're taking prasad. Right? So much joking and laughing, and everything's very, very nicely going on. So those who go to that direction then miss out on this. You know, even those who in their devotional activities become very austere and everything like that, very renounced, sometimes they also renounce the qualities necessary for devotional interaction, like that. And because of this, then their heart becomes hard. So it makes it a problem for actually Raganuga Bhakti to arise. You know? But at the same time, is this Raganuga still based on the Vaidhi? I mean, still it's based on the 64 items of devotional service. Right? It's still based on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, devotional service is not based on Vedanta and the Upanishads, is actually bogus. Right. So then you have this problem, is that that has to be balanced. So that means then the prescribed duties, then in it, it's not just an action that I perform, but it includes the mentality or the quality by which I should perform it. Right? Because when we think of Krishna is talking about Varnashram, he says guna and karma. He says, so according to your nature, then you're to perform a particular activity, or naturally you perform a particular activity. So when you have the qualifications, you know, we'll say the adhikar, but what that is actually just have the qualities that go with that activity. So if we perform the activity without considering the qualities, then or quality in general, then the problem is the heart becomes hard. An actual Vaishnav etiquette and rasa is not appreciated. Because then it's just the duty is to be done and the best efficiency, the most efficient way I can perform that duty, that is the Krishna conscious method. Right? So they miss the point is that the performance of the duty is the medium to express one's affection for Krishna and the devotees. Right? And so since everything is done, accomplished through work, then the work is performed. So just like Krishna, he does many things with any action he does. One action, many things are accomplished. So in the same way, anything connected to him does the same. So you're performing your prescribed duty, so then your relationships with the devotees is very nice. As a side benefit of that, your artha and kama come out of that. By doing it with the proper attitude of naishkarmya, right, then you're liberated from the material energy. And because you're doing it to please Krishna, then it gets you into the spiritual world. You develop prema for Krishna. So the same action takes care of all the five human needs. Right? Like that. While if you don't perform the prescribed duties, basically you won't get any of those. They claim they're getting sense gratification, but one actually really wonders if it's sense gratification. It means, you know, eating a microwave dinner is sense gratification. You know what I'm saying? I think the cows get more out of their grass, you know, than you're going to get out of that kind of stuff. You know? Isn't it? You know, I say, it's just, what are they getting in the way of sense gratification? What is it actually, you know, what do they have? You know, it's very rare that they have anything. You look at the traditional Indian sense gratification, you know, the food, the clothes, the ornaments, the perfumes, the environments, the music, everything is far superior to anything else, you know, that, you know, he was talking about that comes from the Vikarma path. It's just, it's so inferior. Yes?
Regarding the activities to be kind of analyzed, that will describe or divide, distinguish from acting personally, what would be
It means the analytical process, what would make the difference?
No, the process itself, but the characteristics that one can see oneself or in others regarding a particular inclination towards basic voidism and nihilism.
Basically it boils down to identity, right? So sambandha. Is what is their identity. So when they identify as servant of Krishna, then that means their basis is solid in that way. But there may still be tinges from previous of these others. So that will be seen in the way of not wanting to be, not the lack of willingness to take on activities that create distress for Krishna. right? So they're situated in goodness, but they're not willing to take it to pure goodness, right? That would be one element that would be there.
I would like to explain it. I mean, make it more a little accessible. The concept is how I kept the question. Because in the second pranam, Srila Prabhupada said, you know, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatari, only in the Western context. But then, it is not actually that, because we see his preaching in the East also, that when he said the Nirvisheshas are in India and the Shunyavadis are actually in the West, since there is no knowledge whatsoever of the Vedas, really when he was there.
Yeah, because it's atheistic.
Yes.
The Buddhism is actually atheistic, so they don't accept the Vedas. So also it would be when devotees rail against the Vedas or say they don't actually have any meaning or application, that would be the influence of atheism, like that. But if you ask them what their identity is, their goal, it will be devotional. So they'll get that right, but they just don't necessarily understand very well the process. You know, so if I'm servant of Krishna and my goal is to please Krishna, then I would perform activities that he would find pleasing. Because otherwise I can perform my own activities, you know, be the free spirit, but there's going to be a limit on how much that is pleasing to Krishna. Right? You know, it's just like if you're with a friend, you want to please the friend, but you just do whatever you like. You know, that you're trying to please him doing whatever you like, that little bit, as long as there's a good, strong emotional bond, then, you know, it works. But it's not very dynamic. But when you want to please your friend by doing things you know he likes, that becomes a very dynamic relationship. Because that has the element of prescribed duties and, sacrifice. So the naishkarmya. So this principle of naishkarmya is what makes anything work. No relationship actually works without naishkarmya. Except maybe Shantaras, because there they don't do anything, right? So they don't want anything from themselves or others or anything. They just appreciate the qualities. But, you know, so, but the others, they're dynamic rasas, then it's only naishkarmya makes them work. But the point is naishkarmya is not enough. There must be that devotion, that relationship. So if it's that naishkarmya then applied on the material energy, you would be very detached in performance of your prescribed duties to please others. And that way then your material relationships go very well. But still, one's not going to be satisfied because it's not, the soul's not rightly situated. But now that naishkarmya applied on the spiritual, that you will do it to please Krishna and the devotees, that then performance of devotional activities with that detachment, that sense of sacrifice, that then gives you transcendental results. The other will get you nice relationships here and get you out of the material world. Right? But that's the limit. But when the devotion is added, then the spiritual relationship becomes very strong. And when that's there, because that's the natural position of the soul, even one's material relationships will work better. Right? So many times devotees want to try to please the non-devotees by acting basically and performing the duties and mentality of non-devotees. But if it worked, then why aren't the non-devotees satisfied? Because they're already doing that, but they're not satisfied. So it's only when the devotees then interact with them, right? Then they actually find, here's a nice person, right? And then they want to know what this person, because you're nice, that means, well, what do you do? What's your lifestyle? What makes you nice? You know, they want to know that because it makes them happy. They want to be happy. So they'll try to follow that lifestyle. So you don't have to emulate their lifestyle. You have to make yourself available so they can associate. That means you have to be in some way involved in their environment. But from the point of, you know, the fisherman doesn't get wet to catch a fish. Right? You know, fish get wet and catch fish, but they stay in the water. You know, so that's the problem. You know, it means we're trying to catch fish without getting wet. You know, so it's mistaken the importance of this performance of prescribed duties. Right? And Prabhupada's making a very, very you know, clear point here is that the personality of Godhead says, this means Prabhupada is saying, Krishna says, one cannot attain the state of Naishkarmi without executing the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedic literature. So that means there's no ifs, there's no ands, there's no buts. It's just the way it is. So we can go on making up our philosophies on how I don't have to follow. But you do. You know what I'm saying? Of course, one has to be intelligent to find that position or level at which one has to follow. You know, what is appropriate? You know? Arjuna is a grihastha, he's a kshatriya, therefore he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But our position may be different. But the principle of performing your prescribed duties, then only you can come to the Naishkarmi platform. That only then can you get out of the material world. Does that make sense? Like that. So that element then is that Naishkarmi then being done for Krishna then makes it devotional. Naishkarmi being done not for Krishna, that would be your impersonalist or Buddhist. Like that. Because most people, the impersonalism, the Buddhism that they follow doesn't even really get them what they want. You know? To some degree. But that's only coming because of the performance of prescribed duties. You know, but the lazy people, they don't get anything. That's the problem. You know, it's like, what a waste of time. They're here in the material world, and they're engaged in sense gratification, but they don't get any. You know, so Prabhupada would just say they're idiots. You know, if you're going to be a gross materialist, you should at least get something, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're sitting in your, you know, mansion on your vast grounds, and it's time to go to work in Manhattan, so you get in your own private helicopter and fly over and land on top of your own building. Then you can say, this guy's got something. You know, still, it doesn't really mean anything because it'll all be destroyed. But at least he's claiming he's a sense enjoyer and he's getting it. You know, but the common man, what is he getting? He's getting nothing. Right? Because he's not performing any duties that generate facility. Right? We say that guy is, you know, enjoying so much, but he's working so much. He is exactly doing what you need to interact with material energy to get that result. That's why he has it. But his falsity is that he's the enjoyer, so he enjoys it separately from Krishna. So he gets a very meager result, but his result is way better than anybody else's. But it's still just as temporary as everybody else's. You know? So our point is that you want to do this, you want to enjoy, you want to be happy, fine, but why not do it in a way that it's actually gets somewhere? You know? So first you have to be active. And then since you're active, why not make an eternal solution? Why not actually situate yourself on the eternal platform of happiness rather than just being happiness for a few years? You know? So that kind of stuff, that is what addresses the karmi's need. The devotees are afraid to go there because then you're acknowledging that the principle of enjoyment or happiness or facility is real. And they can't distinguish between the details of Krishna consciousness and non-Krishna consciousness. So therefore, devotees want to say, we go in there, we work with the karmis, we're right in there, we talk their language, but actually they don't. And if they wanted you to talk their language, yeah, they got friends that talk the language. They don't need you to come along and talk their language. You know? Like that. You know, it's like seeing one thing was like, this guy is saying he's selling houses, right? He's a realtor, you know, and he's saying this, you know, African-American guy, and he's saying, yeah, you know, it's a great place, you can invite all your homies over and this and that. And then the African-American says, means it's all right, you can just say, I can invite my friends over. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't need you to come in and talk their language like that. So the whole idea is you want to go beyond their language. In other words, you want to articulate what they're looking for that they don't know exists. They want to be happy, but they don't know how. And in their mind, this is how they can be happy. And they're going for it 100%. So if you can show them how that same 100% endeavor, now you make for Krishna in this way, then you catch that God. Then he wants to hear what you have to say.
Did he say that you can give what you have on it?
That is there. But the point is we already have it. Right? We preach attachment, but attachment to Krishna. So therefore, why would you want to sit inferior attachment? It would just be, let's say you have a chef. He preaches good food. But so it's not a problem that someone else is cooking. It's a problem that what they're cooking is inferior food. But the cooking process is not a problem for that chef. The problem is that you could be using better ingredients, you know, very easily and getting better quality, you know, results. So our point is you want to be attached, you want to be, you know, you need an identity, you need to fulfill your needs, you're going to have to perform activity to do that. We have no problem with that. But the problem is that you're doing it in an inferior way. So therefore, you're going to suffer and you're going to stay in this material world. Right? But you can perform those same activities, the same understandings, in connection with Krishna, go back to Godhead and be happy eternally. Right? Because everything else here, the relationships, everything else is temporary. So you have to be here, you have to work with it, we have to be practical. But the point is why would you take that as the prominent thing? Right? That's secondary. That's not your main focus, that's not your main occupation. You may have to do that to make ends meet while you're here, but that's not actually your main focus. So the principle of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana stays in place. You show them how Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, that's what actually makes their life work, that's what they're looking for. But the quality of the Sambandha of the Abhideya and Prayojana, that's what needs to be reformed. But generally what happens is whatever it is, you take that, throw that out completely, and then they'll say, you know, worship Krishna, do everything for Krishna, but the method to do that, they've already thrown out. So that means there is no lifestyle, there is no culture, there is nothing, etiquettes left to do that with. Because the guy, to be in his position, he knows how to be nice to people. He knows how to value people's work. You know, he is able to prioritize what should be done and not done. He is willing to be active and get the result. Right? Like that. He has so many things he's willing to do that are very good assets in Krishna consciousness, but they all get thrown out because, you know, living the lifestyle he lives is Maya. No, his goals are Maya. Right? His identity is Maya. Therefore, the aspects of his work that are focused on those identity and goals, that's what's Maya. But that he's working, that he has a strong identity and a need for that, and he has strong goals and wants to fulfill them, that's not the Maya. The Maya is that what he's doing is not connected to Krishna. Then you can go out and preach to even the grossest materialist. You know, because what you're saying has eternal truth to it. It's not compromise. It's not this. They got enough people compromising. Right? They got enough people coming in and mumbo jumbo and all this. You know? So they're not looking for more mumbo jumbo. You know? Another person to come along and say, oh, it's okay, like this. They want someone to say what's actually going on in life and what they could do to improve it. Then they will come around and take up Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, it should end here. We're quite late today. Sorry about that.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki,
Jai
Nityananda. Go over playing it on DVD. Can you give, I don't know, you asked Nanina how he'd want it, but can you give him the Briyad? yeah. No, what are the lay? I think it's 2.1 or something like that. Or something like that. No. I would say it's a, as a file, I would expect. But it's just a matter of whether, you know, he has something to put it on, or he would have to put it on a CD.